I'm just going to share a few words with you this morning, and really kind of picking up on the theme of VBS this week, it all comes back to Jesus. If you have your Bible with you, would you open to Philippians 3? We do appreciate all the hard work of everybody that helped, and there were a lot of people involved. And just truly appreciate their work for the Lord. You know, the theme this week was, it all comes back to Jesus. In other words, everything in our lives ought to have Jesus at the center. Amen? The question is why? Why is Jesus so important? Well, I'm going to give you two simple reasons. We don't have much time, but two simple reasons. One is because of who Jesus is. You see, you can take Buddha out of Buddhism, but you can't take Christ out of Christianity. Why? Because Jesus Christ was and is God. This is what makes, one of the things that makes Christianity unique. He was not simply a prophet who had God dwelling in him. He was not just Jesus, the person indwelt by the Christ principle. Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. God became man while retaining his godhood, his deity, and he dwelt among us. And the Gospel of John says that we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. So Jesus, you see, is really the most important person in the world. Because God's the most important person in the world. He's not only the source of all that is good, he is goodness itself. He's not only the source of truth, he is the truth. He's not only the source of beauty, he is beautiful. And so he, Christ, being God, is the center of the universe. But the second reason it all comes back to Jesus is because of what he did. We all know that he died on the cross for our sins, right? Or do we? He provided salvation. But what does that mean? There are many ways of looking at salvation. But one way of looking at salvation is that salvation is a restoration. Are you listening? A restoration of relationship. The biblical narrative, the story of the Bible, is in some ways is very, very elementary. A child can understand it. And the story goes like this. God created man, meaning mankind, humankind. Humankind and God got along fine. Humankind sinned and turned its back on God. God sends Jesus to rectify the problem, and now mankind turns back and God and man get along again. It's really that simple. Now, if you have a relationship with people, and you all do because you're in communities and families, you know what harmony in a relationship is like, and you know what discord in a relationship is like. Salvation, as the Bible defines it, is forgiveness of sins. And I could give you a long list of theological terms that talk about different aspects of salvation. But at the foundation of this is that salvation, according to the Bible, is a restoration of relationship. Whereas before coming to Christ, we did not know God, nor were we walking with him. We were not in harmony with him. So Jesus Christ comes and he deals with the root issue. The root issue is the barrier of sin. So when Jesus dies on the cross, our sins are being placed on him. He's being punished for our sins on the cross so that God would not have to punish us. And so now the way is open. There is now access to God. One of my favorite Bible passages, it's just a real simple verse. It's almost easy to just read over it. It talks about when Jesus was hanging on the cross. The scene, it's describing the scene there at Calvary, okay? And all of a sudden, you like get a snapshot. It's like in a movie, it'd be changing to a different scene. He's hanging on the cross. All of a sudden, in the temple, the veil which divided the holy place from the holy of holy places, which no one could go into except the high priest once a year, the veil splits. So while Jesus is suffering on the cross, what's happening is God is punishing Jesus. And at the moment the wrath of God is on Jesus, the veil splits. Is that cool? I mean, that's cool. Because what that means is that that historic act on the cross made a way for you and me into the Holy of Holies. The way is now open. That's restoration of relationship. You see, when you come to Jesus, you don't just come and say, "Hi, Jesus, what's for sale? You got some forgiveness over here, and you got some love over here, and you got some joy over here. I'll take a little joy today, thank you. I'll take a little forgiveness today, thank you." But that's how we think of salvation. We think of these little things that Jesus gives us, and then when we want one of those things, we go to Jesus and get the thing, and then we leave. But that's not how salvation works. Because salvation means we come back to God through Christ. Salvation means I now have a relationship with God through Christ. Yes, God gives us forgiveness. Yes, He gives us joy. Yes, He gives us peace. But He gives us something even better, and that's the joy of knowing Him and His Son Jesus. In fact, it's not too much to say that knowing Christ and being conformed to His image is the ultimate goal of our salvation. That's really what it's all about. That's why it all comes back to Jesus. Amen? But the thing I want to impress upon you, those of you that know the Lord and have known Him for years, is that truly knowing Christ takes time. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, "Probably the most widespread and persistent problem to be found among Christians is the problem of retarded spiritual growth." He says, "Why, after years of Christian profession, do so many persons find themselves no farther along than when they first believed?" He goes on to say, "The cause of retarded growth are many." The causes are many. He says, there is one, however, which is so universal that it may easily be the main cause. You know what he says the cause is? Why Christians aren't growing and knowing Christ as they ought? He says this, and I think he's right. He says the main cause of a lack of spiritual growth is the failure to give time to the cultivation of the knowledge of God. Failure to give time to the cultivation of the knowledge of God. You know, I was thinking about a sermon illustration the other day, not for today, so, but I was thinking about a certain similar illustration. I was thinking how I wanted to soak a Bible in gasoline and burn it in church. I thought that would be a cool illustration. But then I knew if I did that, people would say, "Oh, that's sacrilegious. How dare you burn the Word of God?" So I'm not going to do it. But the question I want to ask you is it any less sacrilegious to have your Bible sitting on the shelf and not read it? Is it any less sacrilegious to have it in the back seat of your car all week and just bring it in church? Is it any sacrilegious to leave it up at church all week and not read it? If we want to know God through Christ, that means we have to spend time with Him. That's the ultimate goal. The way has been made. The veil has been rent. We can come back. It all comes back to Jesus. And we will be strong or weak, we will advance or retreat in our spiritual growth just in proportion as we cultivate our knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul devoted his whole life to the art of knowing Jesus. In Philippians 3, he says this. Then verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Notice what he says. He says, I count these things loss, not just to know the Lord or to have knowledge of the Lord, but the excellence of the knowledge of the Lord. Some of you understand what this means because you've had those times with the Lord, those sweet, precious, empowering, transforming times with the Lord, and you know what He means by excellence. Amen? And you know what's really awesome is that the more you taste that the Lord is good, the more you want to know Him. The more He continues to draw you in, draw you to Himself. He says, "For Jesus I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Yes, it all comes back to Jesus. The Christian life is about Christ. Amen? Because you see, kids, when your parents want you to obey them, Jesus can give you a heart of submission. When your fellow Christian hurts you, Jesus can give you the power to forgive. When you're lonely, Jesus will be your friend. And when you're sad, Jesus can give you joy. And when your marriage is in trouble, Jesus can give you repentance and forgiveness. When your future is uncertain, Jesus can give you peace. When your finances are in disarray, Jesus can give you faith. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, the captain of our salvation, the Ancient of Days, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Because there is no problem that Jesus cannot solve, there is no sin that He cannot forgive, and there is no need that He cannot supply. It all comes back to Jesus. The Christian life is not complicated. So because it all comes back to Jesus, that means we need to come back to Jesus. We need to come to Jesus every day in the Word, prayer. We need to come to Jesus. Amen? Some of you Christians know the Lord, but you're on the wrong side of the veil. You're not spending good time with Him. You're not in the Word. You're not praying. You know it. This is not a guilt trip. This is an invitation. Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest." Don't you want that rest? Amen? So I encourage you, Christians, myself included, open your Bible. That open Bible is like that open veil. Rent open. Come, bow your head, pray, and say, "Jesus, come and commune with Me," and He will. He will. And if you came today not knowing the Lord, that invitation is for you. You may be laboring under guilt, under various sins. The invitation is open. Jesus Christ died for your sins that you might know Him and His Father. One more verse and we're going to close. John 17, this is Jesus talking. I want you to see this. This is what Jesus said. He's praying right before He dies. In John 17, He's praying to His Father, and He says this in verse 3. "And this is eternal life." I want you to listen. This is important. "And this is eternal life, that they," meaning those that come to Him, "that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Eternal life is not given to you apart from you coming to Jesus. Eternal life is the reality of knowing Jesus and knowing the Father through Him. So Jesus invites you to come to Him. And if you come to Him by simple, childlike faith, acknowledging your sins, saying, Jesus, save me. Jesus, show me the Father. Jesus, I want to know You. If you pray that in the sincerity of your heart, He will come to you and reveal Himself to you. That is eternal life. Amen? Let's stand together and pray. While we're standing, I'd like to bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, we want to thank You. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming to earth. Thank You, Lord, for what You did on the cross. We thank You that You rent the veil. We thank You that You've risen from the dead. And we thank You, Jesus, that everything we need is in You. And I pray that we, Your people, would draw upon Your infinite supply, that we, Your people, would be a people who commune with You in private and in public, that we would be a people that love Jesus above all things. May, Lord, may Paul's prayer be, may his assertion of wanting to know You and counting all things lost, Lord, may You make that real in our lives. And I pray for any that came in today not knowing You, grant them, dear Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, their eyes would be opened to understand how much You love them. And we pray it in Your name. Amen. What about